Welcome to the Messianic Message. I'm Kimberly Rogers Brown.
Father, we just praise you and thank you for this blessed day. And we thank you for the Sabbath that you give us, our day of rest to spend with you. Let your word be raiment our spirit and revelation be caught. And we just thank you, Father, that we understand and just have a blessed study and a blessed day with you. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Okay, so starting with Cheryl, we'll go around the room, five verses apiece. Starting at Numbers 34:1 and going to Numbers 35, verse 8, everybody.
Okay, verse 1. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, command the sons of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you for an inheritance, the land of Canaan with its borders. And your south border shall be from the wilderness of Zin, along by the border of Edom, and your south border shall be the furthest coast of the south salt sea eastward. And your border shall turn from the south to the ascent of Akrabim and pass on to Zin. And its limit shall be from the south of Kadesh Barnea and shall go on to Hazar Adar and pass on to Aswan. And the border shall turn from Aswan to the torrent of Egypt, and the end of it shall be at the sea.
This is Bob. And for the western border, you shall even have the great sea for a border. This shall be your west border. And this shall be your northern border. For the great sea you shall point out for you Mount Hor. From Mount Hor you shall point your border to the entrance for Hamath. And the end of the border shall be at Zidad. And the border shall go on to Zithron, and the end of it shall be at Hazar Enan. This shall be your north border, and you shall point out your east border from Hazar Enan to Shepham.
And the coast shall go down from Shepham to Riblah on the east side of Aiyan, and the border shall go down and shall reach to the side of the sea of Chinnereth eastward. And the border shall go down to Jordan, and the end of it shall be at the salt. This shall be your land with the borders of it all around. And Moshe commanded Bani Israel, saying, this is the land which you'll inherit by lot, which Yahuwah commanded you give to the nine tribes and to the half tribe. For the tribes of the sons of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the sons of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. The two tribes in the half tribe have received their inheritance on this side of Jordan at Jericho eastward towards the sunrise.
And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, these are the names of the men who shall divide the land to you, Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun. And you shall take one ruler from every tribe to divide the land by inheritance. And the names of the men are these: of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And the tribe of the sons of Simeon, Shemuel, the son of Amihud.
And of the tribe of Benjamin, Eliad, the son of Chisholm. And the ruler of the tribe of the sons of Dan, Buki, the son of Jogli. The ruler of the sons of Joseph, for the tribe of the sons of Manasseh, Haniel, the son of Ephod, and the ruler of the tribe of the sons of Ephraim, Kemuel, the son of Shephatan, and the ruler of the tribe of the sons of Jerun, Elijaphan, the son of Hanath.
And the ruler of the tribe of the sons of Issachar, Palthiel, the son of Azan, and the ruler of the tribe of the sons of Asher, Ahuhan, the son of Shelomi. And the ruler of the tribe of the sons of Naphtali, Pedahel, the son of Amihud. These are the ones to whom Yahweh commanded to divide the inheritance of the sons of Israel in the land of Canaan. Eight more verses.
Starting with Elisa and then Gilbert, you'll read from 6 to 8.
And Jehovah spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab, besides Jordan, at Jericho, saying, command the sons of Israel that they give to the Levites from the land of their possession city to live in, and you shall give to the Levites suburbs for the cities all around them. And they shall have the cities to live in, and their open lands shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for all their animals. And the open lands of the cities which you shall give to the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits all around.
One more verse, Elisa.
Oh, it is? Oh, yes. And you shall measure from outside the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits. And the city shall be in the middle. This shall be to them the open land of the cities.
Hmm. And among the cities which ye shall give to the Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for manslayer, so that they may flee in there. And ye shall add 42 cities to them. All the cities which ye shall give to the Levites, 48 cities, ye shall give them with their open land. And the cities which ye shall give shall be of the possessions of the sons of Israel. Ye shall give many from those who have many, but from those who have few you shall give few. Everyone shall give of his cities to the Levites according to his inheritance, which he inherits. Period.
Okay. Well, that ends the Torah portion reading for this week. And open this up for comments. Go ahead, Yaakov.
Okay, we had Gilbert first. Gilbert, you wanted to comment on something, I believe. And then after Gilbert, we got Sherry.
Okay, well, there's 48 cities to the Levites, and the continental United States is 48 states. And sure, you got Alaska and Hawaii, but they're well far away. They were added later. And so there was going to be other land added to Israel later because it's going to get bigger and bigger. But what I appreciate is that Israel joins Europe, Asia, and Africa. It's right in the center. All those three continents are joined by Israel. And that's why he said, I put this in the center of the earth. And, you know, wisdom, you know, is the chief place of concourse and the opening of the gates in the city. You know, the chief place of concourse for the three continents is Israel. I mean, that's the best place to open up a hot dog stand is Israel, because that's why everybody's passing through. And that's what the Lord did. He did it that way, and I think it's amazing. I just wanted to comment on that.
Good. Thank you.
I wonder.
Yeah, sure.
I got a couple of things. I want to know if you can post your calculations or maybe any maps or anything that you already have so I can go through those. Because I'm so new to this. I don't know geography. I don't know any of this. I'm trying to figure this out. But the other thing, as you were going through this, this is kind of what I envisioned in my head, just oddly enough. So Israel is it. And the tribes are there. And so the rest of the world during the 1,000 years is inhabited, and the rest of the world is being taught. And maybe at the end of that 1,000 years, it's kind of like, okay, North America, do you want to be annexed or not? Your choice. Destruction or it doesn't that kind of like just annexing the rest of the world and to become part of Israel. So that's where
No, the Lord always had intended for the earth to have nations. He intends for Israel to rule over the nations. The firstborns of the order of Melchizedek were intended to rule over the when they came out of Egypt at the Exodus. That is the established order in the beginning. Now, they failed because they worshipped the golden calf, and so Yahweh took away from them their right to serve in the firstborn priesthood, and it was substituted. The firstborn priesthood was substituted with the Levites. Yahweh said, I take the Levites instead of the firstborns. But we're going to have both the Levite priesthood and the priesthood of the order of Melchizedek in the millennium. And anybody that's in the order of Melchizedek, which not everybody will be, but you don't have to be in the order of Melchizedek in order to be in the kingdom. Those who will serve as kings and priests with Yeshua will rule in the other parts of the earth. See, the New World Order wants to do away with all the borders, but Yahweh's original plan was that there would be nations for his people to rule.
The whole idea of the New World Order is to do it first, before Yeshua can.
Well, no, because the idea of the New World Order is to do the opposite of what Yahweh established. Yahweh established the world with nations.
That's what I mean, to do it their way before Yeshua can do it his way.
Yes.
Okay, all right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, you mentioned the Melchizedek. We are still, Yahweh set this whole thing up, the progression of Israel from Abraham up until millennium, which these princes rule and reign with him. And those are, we understand, to be the order of Melchizedek. Just to add on, I can believe the touch of that. Just to
say it again. Say that part again.
The order of Melchizedek, the princes that will rule and reign with Yeshua, they are the order of Melchizedek.
Yes. Oh.
That is what Revelation is speaking about, and that is what Exodus chapter 19.
And that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it, which says, my princes shall no more oppress the people.
Yes.
That can be viewed as a future thing. It can also be viewed as a past thing, like what I said, Ezekiel was saying to them, you're not going to do this anymore in the future, because what you've done in the past is out of order.
That's the whole thing we learn with Jeremiah, that human kings does not work.
Right.
And then he gives them all this rule that's good and bad. Even the good ones was bad up until since.
And the order of Melchizedek rulers will be righteous rulers.
And they won't die.
And they won't die, and they won't oppress the people, and they won't lead people into worshiping golden calves. Or is of beast, like during the tribulation.
I'm going to leave that there. Gilbert, you got something else to add?
What?
Oh, sorry, you were unmuted.
Yeah, okay. Well,
go ahead, Brent.
No, go ahead. Sure, go ahead. I'm listening.
Wow. Okay. Sure. Thank you. That area goes up also. So the area you're talking about is really big. I don't think we're going to be parking that close. Get your cars off the lawn. So it's we're going to have to get in, you know, but it, from what I saw and Bob saw, you know, it's a very big and tall, but it gently slopes up. It's very green all around there. Everything's the way it should be. And that city is golden white. I always got to keep feeding this because it's going to happen. And we're going up into the city, and it's got the gates, and people are walking when you're going up, and you're not careful, because the ramp to take everybody up there is massive. You put a lot of people on this, the ramps up into the city, and wherever we're going, they're huge, but they're tall, right? Because it's like far down. Yeah. And because the whole earth gets flattened. This is all in the book of Enoch, and this is in the prophecies. If you go back and read about the, you've heard me talk about this before, how it changes the globe, the continents, and there's a change. There's a change in this land. There's a new river. And he makes a whole bunch of things that happen, and we've seen some of that terraforming, and it's going to fit everyone, because it's really big and really tall. That's all I'm saying. I don't think we need guardrails.
The land man. It's 693 square miles. How far is it from one end to the other, or to the, I mean, how many miles is that? How do you do that? How many miles wide, how many miles
tall? Roughly 24 miles by 30 miles, roughly.
24 miles from the northern border to the southern border?
Roughly, and about 28 miles east-west, roughly.
Well, it's supposed to be, let's see, it seems like it's equal lengths. Or maybe it's not. No, it's not, because I have that written down. That one, is, it is 250,000 square reads. I can't even read what I've done. Can't even read it. It's just 500, the sanctuary is 500, 25,000 and the breadth 10,000. Okay, so it's 250,000. I don't know.
The largest.
She doesn't know.
I don't know.
Let somebody else do the math.
I don't do math well. Do you do it in the week if you did it all?
No.
Well, we can just, well, how about if, you know, you're out, just go ahead and do that.
Okay.
Who wants to do
this? Because this is what he does. Come on, math
guy.
We can do this after strap if it sounds like work. Gilbert, if you had a phone.
No, I'm sorry. I wouldn't say I don't have a comment right now.
There are like 500 reads or something. I don't.
Okay. I saw another hand up online.
12 miles a read.
Hello.
12 miles in one read. So you divide that by the 250 million square reads, rather. So I can't even read my own thing. It's big. But I was just wanting to see.
But the numbers matter, just like the 144,000 vaccines you walked out last night.
Yes. So it matters how far it is from the top, you know, the north to the south and from the east to the west. And it's a rectangle, it's not square. So
it's 250 million square reads divided by what?
Divided by, well, you convert, reads to feet.
Reads to feet.
Yes. You convert. Anyway, let's just bog down in this.
Wait for that last number.
Well, I don't have a last number for you. So go ahead. And,
what it would be.
Okay, so anybody else have a comment on this before we go to read or to Colossians?
Well, I can add this based on your opening. You mentioned about everybody will go through tribulation. And that's right, everybody will. And in Jeremiah, how we get to answer to that, Yahweh is going after the shepherds that scattered his sheep. Every shepherd that divides Yahweh's house, Yahweh will go after them. That's the reason for tribulation, because those shepherds are scattered all over the earth in every city, in every continent. You are messing with my house, with my sheep. It's kind of paraphrasing, but that's what it comes down to. That's the reason for tribulation. He's angry at the shepherds scattering his sheep. That's why be careful before you put a kippah on your head. You're dividing his sheep. Be careful to teach house of Israel, house of Judah, two houses. You're dividing his house. Yes,
but he's also angry at the people.
Yes, specifically.
Well, yeah, and he goes after the shepherds, but the people are supposed to be Bereans. They're supposed to be studying their scripture to see if that shepherd is actually a false prophet or a wolf in sheep's clothing, which is, you know, what a false prophet looks like.
Right. Everybody got Bibles. Yahweh made sure everybody can find his word. Everybody can read his word. I spoke to my mother earlier and described just a scattering and a gathering, and she said, wow, that's new to me. Well, that's the message of the Bible.
Right.
And Yahweh say he's going to bring us back and end of time. Oh, no, that's for the Jews. Well, show me that scripture, it's for the Jews. I can't find it.
The shepherds lied to it.
Exactly. Yeah. So Yahweh is going to do what he's going to do, and he's going to force people by tribulation, and at the same time, he's going to punish the shepherds.
Yes. Kim, do you have any thoughts? You're kind of looking like you're thinking on there.
Okay, I want to add something else. About the land of Edom, we have in the prophets, I think it's Obadiah, Edom will be added to the land of in the last day.
Yes.
What?
Edom, the land of Edom, will be added to the land of Israel in the last day. Right.
Yes, and that means that Israel will, part of Israel's land will now be in southern Jordan, but it won't be the other way, like Edom's land being southern Israel.
No. And then that also means that the Edomites will be Israelites, those who don't die. They will accept Yeshua as the Messiah, just as Esau submitted to Jacob eventually. Yeah. That's the next piece of the story.
Yes, but Esau then Esau's fate doesn't get visited on all the Edomites. No. If you're an Edomite, you can convert to being an Israelite.
And not just
you
Edom.
Come through a prophet. You come Jacob.
Yes. And the bar of Israel. And then also about the mountains in Eden.
Yes.
There's no mountain between the Negev right. or in Aqaba. Or in the mountains are up north, Petra, and Dana Reserve. That's where Bozrah is.
Yes, and Madaba in that area.
Yes, but in the mountains.
Yes, it's up in the mountains.
So I'm looking at everything. An Israeli reed, they have a measurement called the Israeli reed at 250 million into inches. It's really big, 2,519 square feet. This into square miles is 78.82 square miles. Just that 250 million we're talking about.
To add to that, the New Jerusalem will be 1,000 miles by 1,000 miles.
Yes. Yes. So Ezekiel's temple, this portion that we're studying here in Ezekiel 45, which we call Ezekiel's temple, which really is not Ezekiel's temple. It's the millennial city with that temple that is built by Yeshua. Because that Antichrist will build a temple, and they'll call it Ezekiel's temple, but it's not. It's not. This temple will be built by Yeshua. It's going to be dwarfed by the coming city that comes down out of the heavens at the end of the millennium. And there are thoughts by some who study this that actually Ezekiel's temple is kind of like a latch. Like, you know, here's the temple section. But it sticks up out of the earth, and the heavenly city comes down and kind of latches on it. And so Ezekiel's temple becomes part of the heavenly city, you see. So how that all works, I don't understand. I don't know how the maps, you know, how it all gets put together. But I'm just telling you a theory.
It's big, everybody will fit, okay?
But, you know, we know that the priests get 20 rooms, and I think there are 20 rooms out of the, I think there's 30 total rooms that go with the temple, you know, those buildings alongside the temple. Let me see where that is here. It says, the commentator Barnes says in Ezekiel 45:5 that these are for possession 20 chambers out of the 30 chambers of the outer court. And those 20 chambers were for doing all the things that the priests had to do to prepare. You know, places to cleanse the utensils that were used in the holy place. And to grind wheat, you know, they had to grind that wheat somewhere, so they would use a chamber for that. And another chamber for storing the priestly garments, because they were not allowed to take the priestly garments outside the temple. Our priests will get 20 of them. They shall possess 20 chambers, it says there in Ezekiel 45:5. And each one of those will be 25,000 cubits in length and 10,000 cubits in breadth. I guess that's the 20 chambers will be that, the full 20 chambers will be that. Anyway, there's no place ever on the earth that will have ever been like this place. When this gets here, go ahead, Charles.
Oh, I'm just looking at it. Is this then going to be the same measurement proportionately as to what the temple is? Basically, you follow what I'm saying?
As to what it is there now?
Well, I mean, what it has been designed to be in a small manner, is it now going to be proportionate?
Oh, I don't.
On the land.
I don't know if it's proportionate to the current temple. I have not looked at that, so I don't know the answer to that. Do you know the answer to that?
I think it's not.
Okay. I'm going to look at that.
Okay. Yeah.
It just...
Let's carry on.
Okay. All right. Anybody else got a question before we read Colossians? Mm-hmm. Okay. Colossians 1:13 and 14. Who has delivered us from the power and has translated us to the King, your Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's it. End of this week's talk.
Yeah,
I know.
Well, I think the key is in verse 13, the kingdom of his Son. It's about the kingdom of Yeshua.
Yes.
He's the king. He got people that rules with him, just against the ruler of the tribe. And then you got the people.
Tribes. 13.
Yes.
So that's the tie into that, which ties back into Numbers.
Redemption through his blood takes us back to Acts chapter 2, where Peter is saying to the people that, well, you killed him. You better ask forgiveness, and then he will forgive you, and you can be part of his kingdom. That's what it comes down to. Everybody's guilty of killing the Messiah.
You killed him. You killed him. Ask him to forgive you. But the truth of the matter is, we all participated in killing him.
Yes.
Everybody that on the earth has participated from the time of Adam forward.
All have sinned.
Yes.
And come short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody says he's not, if you have no sin, that guy's a liar. Everybody has sin.
Yes.
The house of Judah today proclaim they are innocent still. Yes. Just like in the book of Jeremiah, the house of Judah said, we are innocent. We are God's chosen. We don't sin. They claim it today. No people don't realize it. And that is why Yahweh is hitting the house of Judah so hard. You found the answer to that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, more or less in the middle of the curses. He says, if you refuse to repent of your sins, I won't forgive you, which is obvious. And then the full extent of the curses in the end is death.
Go ahead, Charles.
Oh, I was looking at, I didn't like that word. I looked at that, and it's transfer, carry away.
Yes.
So we're going to be transferred into the Son's kingdom. We'll be taken out of this world, because the world is the darkness.
But that's present tense. There's two kingdoms. There's Satan's kingdom and his kingdom. And when you kingdom as a Gentile to being in Israel, you convert to being in his kingdom, which is then you are transferred. The title to existence.
Can it be? Yeah, two different means. That yes, right now with. And we are saying we are transferred into his kingdom, spiritual sense, but then also
right
at a future point in a physical sense.
Can I answer? Can I?
Yes.
Because you know, when he comes, have been destroyed, so it will be de facto. Whoever is in his kingdom will be, whoever was in Satan's kingdom before will be now in Yeshua's kingdom. Yeshua's kingdom will reign, not Satan's kingdom.
Right.
So it's just a de facto thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
In a way, it is kind of a future thing. In Ezekiel 47:22, it says, and it shall come to pass that you shall divide it by lot, that's the land, for an inheritance to you and to the strangers, the ger, that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, and they shall be to you as born in the country among the children of Israel, and they get an inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourns, there you shall give him his inheritance, says the Lord God. So as soon as Satan's kingdom disappears, all the strangers of the earth that like are in Australia now, or you know, Malaysia or Alaska or wherever they are, they now they see the kingdom. Now they want to convert to being Israel.
True Gentiles.
They're true Gentiles.
Yes.
They can come. They can go come into the land, and they can start having children in the land. These Gentiles.
Okay, we got Sherry.
And then Sherry had a question, and then Rick.
Oh, I just had a comment where one of the biggest misconceptions I've gone through in the past 6 weeks was, you know, through the blood of Christ is forgiveness of sins. So I don't know if I was taught or I assumed that anyone who lived before Christ, there was no forgiveness of sin. There was no way to to get redemption, that if you sinned, you died. That was just it. Everybody before that, I just wanted to make that comment. That never made sense to me, but it was what it looked like through the eyes of humanity.
I heard that taught from the pulpit, Sherry. But here's the deal. Yahweh slayed Yeshua before the foundation of the earth, according to Revelation. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. And it was done outside of time. So that when it actually happened in a certain time period, and he said, Abraham wanted to see my day because Abraham knew a Messiah was coming. So all those people who were born and died before Yeshua came, they looked forward to the Messiah coming and to the salvation that would be fulfilled. After he lived, we're all looking backward in time. But the same salvation was afforded to people beforehand because he was slain outside of time before the foundation of the world.
Well,
so
and
everybody gets
looking
even
forward,
at
looking forward to him is still believing in him.
Right.
Yes.
But that was never taught. That was never.
Yeah, I know. Yes, but you're right. Looking forward to him is the same as believing in him. Looking backward to him is the same as believing in him.
Rick, can I answer? Can I add comment to that? To add scripture to this, Leviticus chapter 5 is about sin and forgiveness of sins. And we read verse 5 and verse 6. And it shall be, when he is guilty in one of these, he shall confess that in which he has sinned. Wow. Confession. And he shall bring his trespass offering to Jehovah, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sins. And it later on says he will be forgiven. There was always forgiven for sins. That, well, when you sin, you die. There's more depth and dimension to that. It's just people that does not understand the Leviticus that makes that.
Well, there's no forgiveness for deliberate, high-handed sin, unless you come in the sacrifices.
Yes.
Now, you throw yourself on the mercy of the king, you know, and he decides whether he feels like forgiving you at that time, because that's what mercy is all about. Sometimes you don't get mercy when the king decides that he's tired of that, because he has said it in Jeremiah even. There's coming a time when I'm not going to forgive you. In Joshua, he said, you better be careful. In 29, he said, be careful, because if you play around with other gods, Yahweh will not forgive you. So worshiping other gods has no sacrifice that you can bring. You have to throw yourself directly on his mercy, because there's no sacrifice for that, except go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, I was wondering, what is the difference between or what is the unpardonable sin? My thinking on that was an unpardonable sin is a sin that you won't repent of. But then people say, oh, the unpardonable sin is the sin against the Holy Spirit, which I don't understand what that is. So can you explain that?
Sure. Do you want to make your comment before we go into that?
No, I don't need to make my comment.
Okay. attributing the power of the Holy Spirit to Satan is the blasphemy that is unforgivable. A person that says that the miracles that are done by the Ruach, that they're being done by Satan, that's the unforgivable sin.
Oh.
Let me time out. It isn't what you think it is, though. What is the work of the Ruach? Is the first question. Yeah. It's not going to be because you disagree with your local fivefold ministry pastor.
No.
You know, or Benny Hinn or whoever.
It's the what when Yeshua was healing, and the Pharisees said, well, he does this healing by the work of the devil, by the power of the devil. Okay? So the work that we see the Ruach do in our lives and in the lives of others, healing, provision, protection, those things that are given to us by Yahweh, when we say that comes to us from the devil, that's the blasphemy.
And the Jews would then be in danger of committing that, Jewish people, when they say that the work of the Spirit of the Jews is satanic.
They say that.
They say that. And I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say it anyways because I'm going to die no matter what. And it's the same thing in Islam. They attribute the work of the Holy Spirit in these same exact manners to bring you to Yeshua to being directly satanic. Jinn, that you, Yahweh is deceived. God, Allah is deceiving you on purpose. And that's what it is. And so they're probably, some of them are committing that too. And it's in the same thing.
Yeah. You know, so what's the sin?
Because charismatic pastors and preachers and Kenneth Copeland, all these guys, they say if you question them or you say what you're doing is satanic because you do it through Kundalini spirit power, you do it through however you are doing. Well, you're blessing the Holy Spirit because God's doing this through me. Now, if this person's a legitimate child and servant of Yahweh, I mean, maybe you could make a case for that if somebody's really doing something by the Lord. But by and large, because they're not even following the Torah anyway, and they're doing this stuff to line their own pockets, and he's going to say to them, I don't know you, even though they have these miraculous powers, and the book of Enoch said that it would happen, and you'd be granted power. That's not the same thing. That's a deception with strength behind it. That's not blasphemy.
No, that's not blasphemy.
False prophets, and because Yahweh said there would be false prophets who would give sinners. So that's what my question was. What is the work of the Ruach? What context? So we know when we're doing it and when we're not. And so it was good talk.
Yeah.
So what category does an unrepented sin fall into? I mean, somebody that knows they're sinning and just flat doesn't care.
Ezekiel talks about that very same thing. Yahweh told Ezekiel that if I tell you that this person shall surely live and he commits a sin and you don't warn him, he will die of that sin, but the blood of him will be on you. But if you tell him, warn him, and he goes and repents, then he will be forgiven and he will live. But if I tell you this one will surely die, and you warn him of that, and he repents, it will be as if he never sinned at all in his life, and he will be forgiven. So in that, Yahweh is free to forgive whomever he wishes. And it goes back to the worker of the vineyard, well, the owner of the vineyard, he hired people throughout the day. And at the end, the last ones he hired got paid just as much as the ones at first. He said, those who are last will be first, and those who are last first will be last. So he set the terms. All we have to do is accept it.
No man can come to the Father lest the Spirit draw him. If you offend the Holy Spirit, it's like blowing out a candle. There's no dealing with you. That's why there's no forgiveness, because you're sealed. And you don't care. People don't care because there's no dealing with them. It's through the Holy Spirit people are dealt with and brought to and enlightened by the light. The Spirit is light. And they don't have, they're walking in darkness. They don't even know what they're stumbling at. They're lost. You don't want that to happen. You know, if you care about it, you haven't blessed, you know.
Years ago. Oh, sorry. I thought you were done.
Go ahead. That's okay. It.
Okay. Well, I was just going to piggyback on what you said, Gilbert, because when I was very young, I read that verse, and then I started being worrying, and I worried myself to pieces that I had committed that sin, the unforgivable sin. And the pastor had to say, but if you're that worried about it, that means you did not do it.
Yeah.
Because what you said, Gilbert, is exactly it. The person that does that is the person that doesn't care whether they've done that or not.
Amen.
If you care about it, first of all, you're not going to do it. And second of all, you haven't done it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if I was Islamic or Jewish, I was saying bad things about the miracles of Yeshua, and that wasn't blah, blah, of course you don't care because you're against it.
Right.
Because you don't believe that it's true. You're like, no, this is not the business of God.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Go ahead, Rick.
Herod, before he died, Yahweh spoke to him. He said something, and the people said, this is of God. This is God. He's not a man. He denied it. He died. That's pretty severe. He denied that God was speaking through, and he took it for himself.
Go ahead, Gilbert.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I on?
Yes, no. You were unmuted.
I'm just checking.
Okay, go ahead, Gilbert.
Okay, earlier I mentioned the middle of Deuteronomy 28. It's actually in Deuteronomy 29:19. This is the unforgivable sin. And it happened when he hears the words of this curse, that he has blessed himself in his heart, saying, I have peace, though I have walked in stubbornness of my heart to snatch away the drunken with the thirsty. Jehovah will not be willing to forgive him. But then in the anger of Jehovah and in his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie on him. Jehovah shall blot out his name from under heavens. If you know it's a sin and you say, it's okay, I have peace, I'm innocent of this sin, whatever reason, Yahweh is not going to, it's not going to forgive you. He will remove your name from the book of law.
Yep, there you go.
I know. Hebrews 12 talks about fornication and people who do gall and wormwood, bitter roots. So it's not just bad things from your past that you need to get over, but it's the gods of these nations, this root, bitterness that by which many are defiled. It says in Hebrews, right? There's a root, many are defiled. What is it? Serving the gods of these nations, this unforgivable. Because that's the context of this too. You're worshiping other gods, and then you hear this and go, that's not going to happen to me, right?
Well, and this is where Leviticus 26:40-42 comes in.
Yes.
Where when we read this, and we know that Israel is cursed because they served other gods, and we know that we inherited that in our DNA, that we need to repent of that root. What's the root? The root is the DNA. The Lord didn't have the word DNA back then. He had it, but the people didn't know about DNA. But we all have the root. Our root is what we inherit, and that comes in our DNA. And we get that in our person.
Our carnality.
It's our carnality. It's everything about our flesh that we inherit, and it comes from the ancient Israelite ancestors that we have who walked in that stuff, and we need to repent of that because it's part of us.
Right. So, but Cheryl, it's more than that. It's more than just carnality. It's worshiping other gods. So we inherited, and even in our flesh, this Torahlessness. And this other Jesus, we're always being warned about, you know, that there is another Holy Spirit or another Jesus or
another gospel.
Like all the stuff we've had to sort through, you know, and who are we? We don't know who we are. Like the whole ball of wax.
We had to come out of the other gospel. Yes. Everybody in this room that came to understand the Torah had to come out of the other gospel that we were all taught in church. The one that said, you know, do only the stuff that you see in the New Testament, and anything that's back there in the Old Testament, like the food laws and the Sabbath on the, you know, the seventh day, all of that, that's done away. You know, make sure you do your tithing, you know, even though that's not mentioned in the New Testament, but make sure you do that part. The picking and choosing and the gospel that said that Jesus died on the cross to do away with the Torah, that stuff is, you know, comes to us. That makes him another God.
Right.
He is not, Jesus is not God. Yeshua is God.
There are blindness. Yahweh gave blindness, and there's forgiveness for ignorance. So we don't condemn all Christians. We don't even condemn all Jews.
Right.
But this is pretty black and white. If you worship another God, that means if you worship Yahweh the wrong way, you are basically worshiping another God. So how far you will look at it as idol worship versus image worship, we don't know. That's not for us to tell. But the ultimate goal is when you hear the words of this curse and say, I'm okay. The curses are for the Jews, not for the Christians. You've got problems. You've got a huge problem.
Or the Jews say the curses are for everybody else.
But not for us.
Yeah.
Again, you've got huge problems. Of course, this is not what Deuteronomy 29 says.
Go ahead, Rick.
Some, too, about people saying, well, we don't worship these other gods and things like that today. Well, it's a matter of allegiance. Because loyalty is first and foremost in Yahweh's thinking. If you're loyal to me and you love me, you show your fidelity towards me by being pure and not having these other gods before me. So it could be anything. People are saying, well, it's not a molded calf, it's not this. It doesn't matter. It is your heart. Where is your heart? Where is your allegiance? Why? Do they follow what the world says to do, or does it follow what Yahweh says to do? There's not anything in the middle. It is no gray in there in his thinking. It is either this or this, and that's it.
Well, and the gods have days. The gods have a Sunday, which is Sol's day, and then you have the Monday, the Tuesday. Every day of the week is associated with various gods, depending on which ancient nation you're from. And you have days like Valentine's Day. You have days like St. Patrick's Days, who are deified now in Catholicism. And, you know, other days throughout the years that people in, like the New Age movement will worship the god of, you know, like Krishna, you know, in September when he supposedly was born. Or they'll worship other deities from other ancient religions on that god's days. That is rampant now in the New Age movement. It's gotten into Christianity where they're worshiping any and every god that they feel like doing. That is what that's talking about right there, worshiping other gods.
Even Halloween is in the church.
I know. Halloween was in the church when it in the 60s. And, you know, that's the day, that's the ancient day of the dead that came out of Egypt and came then up from Egypt through Israel. And then, you know, because the Israelites, the Jews in particular, kept doing the Egyptian thing. And then now you have the ancient Egyptian Book of the Dead. But the Day of the Dead in Egypt found its way into Judaism, and then it found its way amongst the Sephardis that went across the Atlantic Ocean and got themselves into the Mexican people. And the Mexican people now today, every year they have the Day of the Dead, and that's where Halloween comes from, that Day of the Dead in there and in Europe. Go ahead, Yako.
Okay, Gilbert, you have your hand up.
Gilbert.
Yeah, Halloween was the day of the flood. More humans died on that day than any day conceivable in history. The whole entire earth was wiped out on Halloween. And that's why Satan celebrates it, okay? Big time, because it's the day of the dead. If you check it out according to the maps and in the Bible, that was on Halloween, roughly, you know, the end of October 31st.
You know what? I like that comment. That I had not thought about that, but that's a good one.
I searched it out decades ago, and it just amazed me. That's, you know, if you figure out when the flood happened, that's when the day that all the heavens were opened up and all the waters were broken up. Everybody drowned that day, and there could have been billions and billions of people on the earth, because they were having kids from 65 to 503 years of age. You know how many kids you can have doing 400 years? A lot. So there's a chance there were billions of people on Earth. And it was fantastic. I mean, average lifetime was 912 years was the average lifetime expectancy, was 912 years of the first generation. That's average. That's average. Not the highest, just the average. And so they were cranking out kids for almost 450 years. They were wailing. So, and it was amazing. It was good weather and everything like that, but they all drowned on one day. And Satan celebrates that day. And, you know, it's the biggest celebration in America, they say, the one-day thing.
It's a celebration that all of the people, the Jews do it, the Buddhists do it, all the people do it, the Christians do it, the non-Christians do it, the Indians do it, everybody does that day. That is a very good comment. Thank you for sharing that, Gilbert. Go ahead. Now.
Hey, I don't know anymore.
Not realize they're worshiping someone. I mean, they just go, I like them a lot, you know, but they're not bowing down to them and, you know.
Go ahead,
Yako. I didn't, I just wanted to remind Sherry, we'll get back on you. I didn't see your hand.
Okay, Hannah's had her hand up for a long time. She wants to know if it's possible to worship another god and not realize it.
Yes, absolutely. That's the sin of ignorance. And that's up to Yahweh to forgive. We cannot make that.
I don't remember using this.
But this says, when you hear the words of this curse, now when you read your Bible and you hear about the curse of worshiping other people or God, then you have to repent. If you don't repent, it's on you. If you're ignorant, you don't know about it, Yahweh will probably forgive you for your wrong.
Right. If you keep doing it, though, you're saying in your heart, I have peace. Uh-oh. And then Yahweh says, I'm not going to forgive you.
Yeah.
Doesn't like flip that. Wow, that's how I feel about, you know.
As long as you don't ask forgiveness, you can't forgive. So this is sort of a trick. So as long as you do that, he can't forgive you until you ask forgiveness.
Go ahead, Sherry. I'm sorry, Charles. Sherry.
Just wanted to give you a funny little comment as you were talking about the average lifespan of 912 years. My mom was walking past and said, I wouldn't have wanted to be a woman back in those days.
Go ahead, Charles.
Well, worship together with God, is that not like Christmas and Easter?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the thing is, what we've done is we've made celebrities.
Correct.
Movie stars. And because they're images. And that's why Israel is told not to be engaged with it, with images. Wherever we go, we're supposed to destroy the images. We're not to have them in our lives. Mm-hmm. Because an image to Yahweh means that you're worshiping him in another, through something else.
Just have it in your home.
Yeah, we're not supposed to do that. This is why I keep preaching to people, don't have images. Don't engage with images. You know, we're not to make them, bow down to them, or worship them, serve them, abide, you know, in our daily lives, or give credence to them. Like those celebrities are more important than we are. We just, no, we're not to look up to anybody else. You know why? Because we are all worth half a shekel. You have said to me that you look up to me. No.
No.
I have a job to do. I'm doing my job. You're doing your job. We're equal. Don't ever say I'm looking up to someone.
You look up to one person, that's Messiah only. He's our only teacher. You use people to teach, but he's our teacher.
Right.
And master and king.
One more thing. Yes. Okay. Yes. Anybody who looks at it says, well, it's the 17th day of the second month. Yeah, but at the time of Moses, he flipped the calendar exactly half a year. He said, this shall be the beginning of the year to you. So it's the 17th day of the 8th month. What's the 8th month? October. No, it's our 10th month. Yeah, but it's the biblical 8th month. And I looked it up when the Lord showed me that a decade and a half ago. And sure enough, the 17th day of the 8th lunar month was exactly October 31st, the same day, Halloween. So, I mean, it's there. Now, you know, every 3 years, you're going to be off 10 days, 10 days, 10 days, 30 days, 30, 13 months. But in other words, and Yom Kippur happens exactly half a year from Passover. No, it can't because it's the 10th and the 5th. No. A lunar year is 355 days. A solar year is 365. So half a year is 5 days off. So when it's Yom Kippur, from the beginning, you should say, oh, but from the beginning, it was not so. It was Passover, or vice versa. In other words, he fulfilled Yom Kippur and Passover on the same day, And it all works out. It's kind of deep, but it all works out. Believe me, I've already searched it out. So it's all good.
What were you saying, Cheryl?
Nothing. I was talking to him.
But what?
Nothing. I was just letting Rick know that we have Glenn online.
Oh,
hi, Glenn.
I didn't see Glenn. Hey, Glenn.
Is it
Amanda there too? Hi. Shalom. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Shalom to everyone.
Shabbat shalom, y'all.
Y'all. Glenn, is Amanda with you? Hi, Amanda.
Amanda's here. She heard you.
Hi. Shabbat shalom. Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you, guys.
So are there any other comments before we end the Torah portion?
I just feel like this is so serious, what we've been discussing today, that
His word is so important.
Serving only Yahweh. Mm-hmm. It's our job. It's, you know, we elected this by saying we want to be saved by Yeshua. So we opted into being liable for the Torah. That was our choice. We said, this is what we want. This is what we're going to do. And he requires that he has some very strict requirements for who you worship and how you worship him. And we can, you know, that's why Yeshua said, you know, the way is so narrow, it's like the edge of a sword. It's so, I mean, you can slip off one side or the other so easily and not even know it. But the minute that you know it, you say, I repent of that. And then you have forgiveness. That's the purpose for the laws of forgiveness in Leviticus and throughout the scriptures. Go ahead, Yaakov.
We had Manasseh, King Manasseh. He worshipped Baal and Asherah. He refused to listen to the prophet. And there's even rumors he killed the prophet, including Zion. And then he was taken to Babylon, and Yahweh kept working with him until he had no other options left than acknowledging Yahweh, and he was forgiven. There's always forgiven. Always. Until you die, then you're dead.
Yes, very good. All right, any other comments?
Yeah, but you're still unmuted, so I don't know if you're going to add something.
Am I unmuted right now? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying it's I'm BC before computers, so I'm trying to learn how to use this. But it's a serious thing, and I did it years ago, and I probably should write it up. But if you search it up, Yeshua does all things well. He fulfilled Yom Kippur and Passover on the same day. It's amazing, and you know, and things change. You know, down. We don't have a 360-day year anymore. We got 365, our lunar 355. So you got playing there. But it all works out. It's amazing. And so when you do that, Halloween was the day of the flood when all the heavens were opened up. Everything went dead. Everything drowned. It's the most worst day in history of humanity, and yet Satan celebrates it. And what does he dress everybody up? As skeletons and goblins. In other words, all their souls went to hell and all their bodies became skeletons. That's what they dressed them up as, skeletons and goblins. It's amazing. It's just, it's been there all this time. You know, Satan just...
Well, you know, you said the tribulation will be like Noah, but the tribulation will be worse than anything seen on the earth. Thus, we can expect the days of the dead, the day of the dead, to exceed that of Noah's time. But there will be no celebration of that day in the millennium. Okay, anybody else? All right, your turn, Michael.
Charles, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Yes, Mr. Brown. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we take this moment to acknowledge that gaining the knowledge that we're discussing and learning is so important, because as we do that, we come to know you in a much more intimate fashion. For you've given us your word, the Torah, so that we might know you more completely. We rejoice in that. We thank you for what you're working, for the time that we are in. Pray for each person to have the knowledge and the wisdom and to make right decisions. So we rejoice in this, and we pray this in our Savior Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Kimberly Rogers Brown from TheMessianicMessage.com. Thank you for listening.